Hello and welcome to You Really Shouldn't Have. Joining me this week is US TV host Mickey Burns. Mickey began hosting his celebrity interview show Profiles back in 1999 and has presented over 400 episodes to date. He popped by to discuss his early life as a promising football player, his move into media and the prestigious career that followed, along with finding out the worst gift he's ever been given. Mickey, thanks so much for joining me on the show today. Really great to have you here.
James, welcome to my home here on Staten Island, New York, in the heart of New York City. And it's a pleasure to join your show, and I'm honored to be on it.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you here, and your home looks lovely as well. We're here on Zoom. Nobody else can see it, but I can see your house, and it looks lovely.
I'm just in a part of my den where I'm quarantined now for 3 months.
Oh, yes, absolutely, because of the coronavirus. Yeah, absolutely. I see you got a bear as well with its mask on.
That's my bear, and it reminds me to wear my mask. Don't go out of the house without your mask.
Absolutely. That's wise advice there, Mickey. Now, yes. I know you grew up in the housing projects of New York City. So what was childhood like? And was the aspiration of working in the media industry something you had from an early age?
Growing up in the projects was not a bad experience because we all had the same thing in common, and that was nobody had any money. It was right after World War II, and we were part of the baby boomers. The positive of growing up there was when you left your house, you had 40 or 50 kids to play with. So you played the sport of the season. You played football in the fall, you played basketball in the winter, and you played baseball spring and summer. And there was a lot of life lessons to be learned. And that is, if you apply yourself and you incorporate enough discipline and go after your goals and aspirations, that anything is possible, even if you come from the low economic stratosphere of the city housing projects. Anything is possible if you put your mind to it.
You mentioned sport there in your answer. I know sport was a big thing for you growing up. Did you play in school and in college?
I learned from an early age, because I used to say to my mother, Mom, how do you feel about me going to college? Because nobody in my family had been there before. And she would always smile and say, Mickey, I would love that for you, but you're going to have to get a scholarship, because they did not have the money to send me.
Uh-huh.
So at an early age, I did have some athletic ability. My father was a good baseball player prior to World War II, so I inherited his athletic genes. And right from a young age, I excelled in all sports. And I realized that that might be my ticket out of the projects and out of the low economic stratosphere, and also a ticket into a college with a scholarship. And I excelled in high school. I was an all-city football player and earned a scholarship to the Midwest, a college called Missouri Valley College. Earned my four-year degree, stayed there, got my master's degree the following year, and then went back and spoke at their graduation in 2012, and they bestowed an honorary doctorate.
Oh, wow.
So I've come a long way from the South Beach projects.
I understand you were a running back. What was your scoring record like?
Well, I led the city in scoring my senior year with 102 points in 8 games.
Wow.
But it was pretty good, a lot of them. And then when I graduated college, education was my goal, as you can imagine, coming from the projects. So I had an opportunity to get into graduate school, which I did. And a week after that, I got a letter from a famous football coach called Vince Lombardi, who was coaching his first year in 1970, the Washington Redskins. And he wrote me a beautiful letter inviting me to his summer camp as part of a Washington Redskin. But I was already enrolled in graduate school, number one. Number two, I had survived 8 years, 4 years in high school, 4 years in college, without any serious injuries. So I decided to pass on pro football, because in those days, you're going to make a lot of money.
Wow.
You played for the love of it. Today, I wouldn't have hesitated. I would have been on the next fight. But in those days, you know, a rookie lucky made $50,000 back in 1970. So I decided to pursue my education, further my education. And so I wrote Vince, Mr. Lombardi, a very nice letter thanking him, but telling him that I was going to continue my education instead.
Vince Lombardi, of course, a very famous coach. The Super Bowl trophy is named after him. It's the Vince Lombardi trophy.
Yes, and before that, he was, I think he won the first Super Bowl as the coach of the Green Bay Packers.
Uh-huh. What was your first experience, Mickey, working within the TV and media environment?
Well, I always wanted to, as a matter of fact, I studied communications in college. But when I got out, I realized we were in the BC universe. And BC stands for before cable. Because back then, you know, there was only NBC, CBS, ABC. That was it, you know. And getting a job was extraordinarily difficult. I would have had to start out in Mississippi or Boise, Idaho. And when I graduated, I also had an opportunity to come back to New York City and teach and coach basketball and football. And I wanted to come home. I was away for 5 years. And that's what I did. But my heart was always in broadcasting. And I always thought that I would get into it sooner or later. It just wasn't an opportunity for me right out of school.
It's not often that I feel any pressure doing these interviews, but then I'm not interviewing someone every day that is famous for conducting interviews. I know that you've begun hosting your TV show Profiles back in 1999, which now has over 500 episodes. So how did that opportunity first present itself to you? And what do you remember of those early episodes?
Well, that's interesting because I was doing another show at that time called Special Edition, which was a news magazine for Time Warner. And every episode in the news magazine, of which I was the host, was a profile of a celebrity. Ah. So we would run into Broadway and interview Tony Orlando, who was appearing in Smokey Joe's Cafe, or Danny Aiello, who was in another play. And we would get like a, you know, we start interviewing them because we needed a 4-minute segment, and we'd end up interviewing them for like 30 minutes. And I used to go back to the studio and say, guys, you know, we have a great 30-minute interview with Tony Orlando, but it's a shame we're only using 4 minutes of it. You know, they want to talk about their lives and their careers, and they have so much to say, but we're just looking for a 4-minute segment. And I said, it's a waste of a lot of good stuff. So I said, we should do another show called Profiles, where we actually sit down with them, and it's an overview of their life and career over 30 minutes, like we're doing here today. And we started out, I think, Chuck Mangione, who was he was our first guest. Then we got Isaac Hayes, Darlene Love, Melba Moore, and all these. We had no trouble getting the guests because they all wanted this kind of format just because they didn't have that opportunity. Even if you're on Jimmy Fallon, it's like a 5 or 7 minute segment tops. Yeah. And it's usually, how's your dog? How's your wife? How you doing in the pandemic? And goodbye. You know, it's not a lot of substance. You know, so there wasn't a lot of people doing that at the time. And there's not a lot of people that are doing it today. So we became a very unique vehicle of profile. Because we do profile celebrities and we try to do their entire life and career.
With the pandemic, how have you found currently producing the show? Are you guys on like a break or are you still producing stuff in the lockdown?
That also is you know, interesting because like you doing remotely, you're in England, I'm here in New York. At the beginning, I was opposed to doing Zoom interviews. Everyone is doing them. I don't like the lighting. I don't like the sound. I think they're tough to focus on. Uh-huh. We tried a couple of them. Fortunately, we had 8 or 9 episodes on the shelf when the pandemic hit in March. And I think now in the second week in July, we're getting ready to do new interviews. So we've survived with what we had on the shelf. But I tried to do it remotely and I wasn't happy with it. So instead, we took a hiatus as opposed to doing Zoom interviews.
Of all the people you've interviewed, which ones stand out as the most memorable for you?
Well, yeah, there's so many of them, and I think everybody has a unique story, which makes it memorable. Some, you know, and it not always what happened that's memorable takes place during the interview. In some cases, it was before or after the interview, sometimes during the interview. But I remember there was a famous actor, Eli Wallach. You remember him? He was in The Good, Bad, and the Ugly.
Uh-huh.
He was the ugly. But he was also in a ton of plays, Broadway plays, movies. He was in one of the last Wall Street movies. But after the interview, I'll never forget this. After the interview was over, which was a phenomenal interview, the man was like 95 at the time, sharpest attack. He said, "Mickey, take a walk with me if you would." And I said, "That's a good day, James. You know, you get to walk up Broadway with Eli Wallach." I said, "Mr. Wallach, it'd be my honor." So we're walking up Broadway, and he's carrying like a paper bag from Pathmark. That's a grocery store chain here. And I said, "Mr. Wallach, what's in the bag?" He said, "Those are my shoes." And that's where we're going. We're going to the cobbler to get them fixed. And I thought I would be funny. And I said, "Mr. Wallach, you know, with all your money, I mean, he's a millionaire. Why don't you go to Macy's and buy 10 pair?" And he didn't find that funny. And he grabbed me by the wrist and he stopped me in mid-stride, looked me straight in the eye, and he said, "Mickey, I grew up during the Depression. And back then, we didn't buy new, we fixed old." And he said, "I've never been able to shake that." Now, that's a life lesson that I'll never forget.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I have one more story for you, James. You want to hear about my Joe Montana story?
Oh, I'd love to.
Because you know more Joe Montana?
Uh-huh.
He's famous American football
absolutely,
player.
Absolutely, yeah. 49ers.
We get an interview scheduled with him. We have to go to his hotel suite in New Jersey. We get there. They said, "Be here 4:30. Set up your lights, camera, action, all of that stuff. At 5:30, Joe will be ready for your interview." So we set it up. Took us about a half hour to set up. And then we noticed a beautiful spread of cold cuts and salads, all that kind of stuff on a table. And we said, "Man, that was nice of him to set us up. This is a first-class operation." So we helped ourselves to lunch. At 5:30 on the dot, Joe Montana walked in. And as soon as he walked in, I saw his manager waving me over. And I said, "Oh, what did I do something wrong?" You know. And he took me into the corner. And Freddie looked me in the eye and he said, "Who ate Joe's dinner?" So I said, "Oh, my God." I said, "I thought that was for us." I feel terrible. You know, kid with his hand caught in the cookie jar. So we started the interview with Joe Montana. First thing I said was, "Joe, I really want to apologize for eating your dinner." And he looked at me, he started laughing. He said, "Mickey, I'd never eat that garbage." He said, "After the interview, I'm going to an Italian restaurant down the street." So he let me off the hook. But the lesson to the story is never assume anything.
Okay, Mickey, what's the worst gift you've ever been given?
Well, I think the worst gift was related to my current book, and I got it back in the 70s. Back then, I was, as I told you, I was teaching and I was coaching right out of college. And I remember it was my birthday, and I got this beautiful book, and it said, "Everything I Know About Coaching" by Mickey Burns. And I said, "Wow, isn't that cool?" And I opened it up and all the pages were blank. I will never forget that.
Mickey, having done so many interviews, have you got like a bucket list of people you haven't yet met that you'd like to interview?
Well, yes. My number one is there's two or three, you know. And it's in my book, by the way. My book is called From the Projects to Profiles, and it's a memoir. And I have my bucket list in the book. And number one is your guy, Sir Tom Jones.
Uh-huh.
I've had Engelbert Humperdinck on the show, and now I got to get Tom. Tom just turned 80.
Yeah, he did. He did.
But he looks great, and he still sings great.
Oh, absolutely.
Met him once, spent time with him once. But he's at the top of my list. Pete Rose is number two, the baseball player.
Yeah.
Just, you know, with all that happened with the gambling is very interesting. Number three, I have Raquel Welch on my list. I mean, she was the beauty of her time, and she is she's also about 75 years old and looks phenomenal. You know, so these are my top three people on my bucket list. I'm going to get them because Tom will be back.
Absolutely. Raquel Welch was the poster in The Shawshank Redemption, right? That was the one that he dug the hole behind.
Yes, that was Raquel Welch.
Yeah.
That was when in a movie called 1 Million B.C. And she was in the prime of her career, just busting out into superstardom. And as a matter of fact, I just had had Robert Wagner on the show. Robert Wagner's a big TV star. And he said the same thing. I don't know. He mentioned her in his book. And he said he met her as she was a ball girl at a tennis tournament that he was at before she became a big star.
We'll move on to your book. You did mention the book just before, Ben. So your recent book, From the Projects to Profiles, a memoir, tells the story of your career. So what made you decide to sit down and write the book? And how did you find that process of putting it all together?
Well, I never really thought that I would write a book. It was really the furthest thing from my mind. And then I had a guest on my show. His name is Chuck Barris. And Chuck Barris was the host of The Gong Show back in the 70s. He was also the creator of The Newlywed Game and The Dating Game back in the 70s. And he was fascinating. What a fascinating guy. And during the interview, he stopped me in the middle of the interview. And I don't, to this day, don't know why. And he said, Mickey, I want to change the subject, you know, but you have a book in you. And I said, Chuck, I never even thought about it. And he said, no, you have a book in you. And I said, I never have the time. I'm so busy with the show. And he said to me, the tip is, he said, write one page a day. And at the end of the year, you've got your book. And I said, well, that's great advice. And then, you know, I kept, you know, thinking back to what he said. And then one day I just took his advice and I said, I'm going to write this book. And I sat down one day, it was raining on a Saturday and I had nothing else to do. I said, let me see if I can start this thing. And I wrote like 20 pages and I was off and running. I did, however, James, I did not take his advice. I couldn't write one page a day. Now I write in clusters, you know, 7, 10, 12, 20. But thanks to Mr. Barris, I have a book. I'm very proud of it. It's doing really well. And I'm doing my second book for the same publisher. And it will be out in November. And it's a coffee table book. I have a photographer who's been with the show for 20 years. And one day, I was just curious. I said, his name is Robert Brunfeld. And I said, Robert, how many photos have you taken in and around the set for the past 20 years? And he said, I have no idea, but I'll check the computer tonight and get back to you. He called me that night. He said, Mickey, I have 16,542 photos. I said, you're kidding me. That's 16,000 photos? So I called up our publicist, Eileen Shapiro, and said, Eileen, we have over 16,000 photos. What do you think I should do? And she said, you need to do a coffee table book with the best of all of this. So she called up our publisher, and that's New Haven Publishing, and I think they have an office in England. Within a week, I had a contract for the second book. So I'm breaking it into categories over the 20 years. The singers, the actors, the comedians, the athletes, and the musicians, like Kenny G and all of that. And I've got my five chapters, and I'm about a third of the way through the book, and it'll be out in November. Inside Celebrity Profiles, it'll be called.
Mickey, wrapping up, if you could go right back to the beginning of your broadcast career and give yourself a gift to help to get where you are now, what gift would you give yourself?
You know, I would just give myself the gift of confidence, which I had then, but I think it's something that's, you know, so important. You know, as long as you have confidence, discipline, drive, there's no gold that you can't accomplish in this life. That's what I would say. And don't ever, you know, another thing is never take no for an answer. And I've had so many of my celebrity guests on the show have said the same thing. They've said, you know, in the pursuit of your dream, you may get 100 no's, but all you need is one yes to achieve your dream.
Finally, where can people find out more about you and what you do?
Well, you know, I'm all over the internet on Facebook. Mickey Burns, I have two sites there. I'm on Instagram, I'm on Twitter. You can go to the network itself. It's NYC Media and hit television. You'll see all the shows on this network. Hit profiles and you can actually see about 10 or 12 of our most recent shows in their entirety for our older shows, you can go to YouTube and search Profiles with Mickey Burns, and you'll see a lot of our classic episodes over the past 20 years.
Fantastic. Mickey, thanks so much for joining me today on the show.
James, it was my pleasure. And please, next time you're in New York City, let me know and we'll have lunch.
Thanks again for listening to this episode of You Really Shouldn't Have. Be sure to subscribe to us on your chosen podcast service to make sure you never miss another episode. You can also find us on Twitter and Instagram at Bad Gifts Pod, as well as online at badgiftspod.com.